During the pandemic, inmates at Wayne County's jail have experienced some very long stays, sometimes just waiting for trial. As our newsroom has reported, some of those stays stretched out to more than a year.
I have to take care of the house. I have to take care of, you know, the kids and everything else. It's hard. There's not nothing I can really do to even help in this situation.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. One of the things that comes up for many families who have loved ones at the jail is that it's really difficult to stay in touch over such an extended period of time. What's that about, you ask? Why is it that phone calls or Zoom connections can't do the job? The thing is, it's just not possible to call someone who's staying at the jail without paying a price.
One study from several years ago found that family members of people in prison or jail, one-third of them had taken on debt just trying to keep in touch with their loved ones who were incarcerated.
Michigan Radio's criminal justice correspondent Beenish Ahmed brings us a story today that lays out why Michigan has some of the highest average costs for calling people in jail. She spoke with one woman whose husband made a life-changing decision without even being able to talk through it with her.
Felicia Morlett has a special bond with her husband, Terrence. They got married on her 40th birthday, and he always made their anniversary into a celebration.
Oh, when he was home, he'd always make the fun of everything. You know, between the cake and the ice cream and the gifts and probably having a water balloon fight and splashing around in the pool, we would be doing something crazy.
But they haven't been able to celebrate together in the last 2 years. Terrence has spent most of that time in the Wayne County Jail, waiting to go to court. In-person visits to the jail are free, but
because of the pandemic, we only were able to video talk over the phone.
2.5 years into the pandemic, family and friends still can't visit their loved ones in the Wayne County Jail, so they've had to pay to keep in touch.
The cost of being able to even pay for a call and for us to even that same area code, it's ridiculously high.
For someone in the Wayne County Jail to make a 15-minute in-state call, it costs about $4.20. Those charges have added up for Felicia.
I have to take care of the house. I have to take care of, you know, the kids and everything else. It's hard. There's not nothing I can really do to even help in this situation.
Felicia has 4 kids. Her only income is a monthly disability check. Terrence used to cover half their expenses, but she's had to make do without his income ever since he was arrested. On top of that, she's had to pay to keep in touch with him. At first, she had some savings, so they talked a few times a week. Then,
if I was lucky, I'd talk to him twice a month.
I talked to Felicia on June 15th. That's her birthday and her wedding anniversary. She hadn't had the money to call Terrence in weeks, so she didn't know that he was considering an offer for a plea deal. Lawyers said he could take a 13-year prison sentence instead of waiting to go to court and letting a jury decide his fate. He took the deal. Felicia says she doesn't blame him.
He sat there for 2 years. I can perfectly understand why he wanted it done with and over with. Hurts, but I can understand.
It also hurts that she had to find out about Terrence's decision from his sister, since Felicia couldn't afford to call him. Why does it cost so much to call someone in jail? To answer that question, you have to take a look at the contracts.
These are very lucrative contracts.
Bianca Tylik is with Worth Rises, an organization that advocates for free communication for people in correctional facilities. She says that only a few companies provide phone service to jails and prisons, and those companies try to outbid each other by giving some of their profit back to jails and prisons.
At the end of the day, these are payments from a corporation to a government agency for the ability to contract for that agency, which essentially are just corporate kickbacks or what feels like legalized bribery.
The corrections telecom company, Telmate, gives Wayne County a minimum of $1.75 million a year. That minimum annual guarantee is written into the contract to provide phone and video calls from jail.
It's certainly the government taking their portion, but the company is obviously also taking their portion.
That money comes from the higher cost of calls. A portion of every minute of every call someone in the Wayne County jail makes to a lawyer or a loved one goes back to the county.
Everyone gets to win at the end of the day, except for the people who are relying on this communication service and have absolutely zero say about how it's administered.
There are additional costs for phone and video calls from jail. The calls are monitored, and who gets called and for how long is tracked. We wanted to ask the Wayne County Sheriff's Office about its contract with Telmate, about the money it makes and how it spends that money, but the Sheriff's Office declined to speak with us for this story. Felicia Morlett still hadn't heard from Terrence as the day of their anniversary turned to night, and she still hadn't been able to talk to him about the plea deal he took, a deal which will keep them apart for more than a decade.
Next week, it will be a month that he has been in prison. And I've been dealing with the 13 years. To me, I can handle it. You know, I just could handle it and deal with it a lot better if at least I could talk to him.
Terrence Morlett is now in a state prison. The cost of a 15-minute call from there is half of what it was when he was in the Wayne County Jail. Beenish Ahmed, Michigan Radio News.
We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear about how money flows through the justice system in Washtenaw County.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Wayne County is not the only place where the costs associated with being in jail are under scrutiny. There are other places in Michigan thinking about the revenue streams coming from and going into the justice system. Sheriff Jerry Clayton has been part of a conversation in Washtenaw County, looking for alternatives to the costs of things like court-related fines and booking fees. And in 2019, the county lowered the cost for phone calls.
It was part of our larger, you know, commitment, our mission, right, around co-creating community wellness and safety, all the things that go along with that, and understanding the impact of being involved in the criminal justice system on people from a financial standpoint. So, you know, many of the people we have that come through the jail come for a variety of reasons, and a lot of it is economically driven. And in a lot of the areas of our county where, quite frankly, there hasn't been the kind of investment in those communities as we see in other parts of the county. So as we think about how do we break this cycle, right, of recidivism and a lack of strong community, you know, one of the ways for us to help break the cycle is to not contribute to the financial debt of folks by adding on fees associated with their incarceration.
Mm-hmm. What did you know when you started that, you know, that process about where phone calls stand and how much of a problem they represent for folks at the jail and their families?
Yeah. So what I know is, you know, I started my career at one point as a correction officer. So understanding, seeing folks on that phone for 15, 20 minutes, coming back multiple times a day on the phone, talking to someone, somebody on the other side was paying that bill. And then hearing from, you know, the loved ones of incarcerated people over the years that said, you know, their biggest expense right now was their phone bill associated with a loved one being in jail. And then started, you know, and as I became the corrections commander and I got an idea of the contract, and then years down the line, I became the sheriff, and now have to negotiate those contracts, you know, looking what was built into it, I was like, holy cow, you know, a connection fee, whether it's $3 or $5 or $7, just to connect the call. We start off with that fee, and then the subsequent per minute amount just adds up. And I just didn't think it's the right thing, especially when we know to better position someone to reintegrate when they've been in jail for a while is to help them maintain that connection to the people in their families while they're incarcerated.
We heard some reporting a little earlier from our criminal justice reporter, Bina Shahmed, that Wayne County's revenues from this phone system, it's a minimum of $1.7 million a year from video calls and phone calls. Is the telecom contract for the Washtenaw County Jail, when you started reforms in 2019, was it anywhere close to that?
No, but, you know, the difference is, you know, Wayne County is just such a much larger system than ours, right? So they have, you know, their average daily population of incarcerated individuals is much higher than ours. So they're going to generate, you know, we can't make that kind of comparison. Where you look is in our community, you know, I'm really sensitive to, you know, as I look at our budget and I look at our revenue, we should not try to balance our budget on the backs of people that are incarcerated. So that was really important to us. And as I looked at the line item and, you know, for us, when that contract came up, I think it was in 19, I wanted to look at, there were other jails throughout the country that had eliminated all fees. They had eliminated the connection fee. They had reduced the per minute amount. And I wanted to see, well, what can we do? First off, I knew we were going to do it. I just wanted to make sure, you know, what we were going to do and how we were going.
Sheriff, you've also been pretty involved in the county's efforts to reduce fines and fees related to court. What can you give us a sense of what kinds of fines and fees come up as a normal part of the process?
So this is a new venture, and our director of community engagement, Derek Jackson, has been really involved in this, working with our racial equity office for the county, our director of innovative inclusion, which is our DEI, and the public defender, to start to examine that. So it's all fines and fees associated with your court appearance, right? So a person gets, they have to go to court, they're found guilty, or they have to pay, found guilty of whatever offense that brought them there, you know, included in all those fees, you know, you got to pay for your ticket, then you have to pay fines and fees. To some degree, you pay for that process to go through to find out that you were guilty of X, Y, and Z. That's built in. When you look at the court's budget, again, you'll see expenditures and revenue. You see revenue that makes up their overall budget. Though one of those line items is fines and fees. So we have built into our court budgets a process by to fully fund the court. You have to hit certain metrics in fines and fees. So again, I'm not saying it's done for nefarious reasons, but we've incentivized fines and fees to make the whole court budget whole. The question then becomes, how do we disincentivize the court? How does the county now provide the court enough money to operate where they don't have to depend on fines and fees to fully operate and provide those services? Now, that's not an issue for the sheriff. I can't dictate that. What we can do is say, look, on our end, let us examine all the areas of our operation that generates revenue, and let's see how we reduce the burden on incarcerated individuals by reducing the fees that we charge them.
Is it common for, I guess, these budgets to reflect the possibility that people simply won't be able to pay those fees and fines?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, so what happens in a lot of ways, and I'm not talking about any court in particular, just in general, if you don't meet your financial obligations, you do run the risk of now additional sanctions coming from the court. So it's part of your sentence, it's part of your accountability for whatever offense you were found guilty of. You have a responsibility, you have a financial responsibility. And if you don't meet that, you could end up with farther interactions with the court. Could it result in jail time? Well, it could, which is sort of interesting to me because it cost us money to incarcerate folks. There's a cycle here that I think we have to find a way to break. And I think that we break it by, as governmental entities, we fund the different components of the criminal justice system in a way where it's the government that's funding it and we're not doing it through fines and fees. I just think it's a perverse incentivizing of the process when we have a line item that is generated by fines and fees.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes for streaming at michiganradio.org. Today's podcast was produced by Ronia Cabansag. Other producers on our show are Aaron Allen, Mike Blank, Mercedes Mejia, and April Van Buren. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Our theme music is by 14KT, with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. Good to have you. We will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Williams.
I'm Lester Graham. We've been working on a big project about Great Lakes birds called the Bird Connection.
It will look at ducks and trumpeter swans,
egrets and herons,
and piping plovers. Yes!
We'll discuss what we've discovered at a Michigan Public Issues and Ale event,
including how some problems for birds are problems for people.
It's at Arbor Brewing Company in Ypsilanti, the evening of May 21st at 7.
You can register at michiganpublic.org.